You're listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
We don't get through the game.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000. With Chris Black, Eric Ostrowski, I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. And talk to my guy Frank Thomas here in a second. Because I want to get his take on what I ranted about on Wednesday night. When you have a team that is acting too comfortable, I'm talking about the Cubs. When Javi Baez admires a ball in a one-run game when you are struggling and the ball doesn't fly out of the park and he ends up only at first in a one-run game in the ninth inning and you end up losing that game and you could have used that run, and the manager lets him play the next day and says, I'm not going to criticize him. He plays hard, and he's our best player, and blah, blah. That, to me, is not holding people accountable. But I'd love to hear what a Hall of Famer has to say, because if I'm Joe Maddon, I'm closing the freaking doors, and I'm blowing the doors off everybody in there. Hey, guys, I'm not going to lose my job because you disrespect the game. I'm done. I'm the easiest guy in the world to play for, and you take advantage of it, you've gone too freaking far. And I'm not going to have it happen. If I'm going down, I'm going down my way. But that just doesn't seem to be who Joe is, and if he does end up losing his gig, he's got no one to blame but himself. Let's bring in Frank Thomas, the Hall of Famer, and he joins us now here on ESPN 1000. Frank, good morning. What's going on, Hurt?
Good morning, Cap. You sound a little fired up this morning, buddy.
Oh, I went off on the post game the other night. Off. And I got Ozzie texting me, keep preaching, kid. So,
You know what? I feel the same way, man. I've been watching this team all year. Matter of fact, this was one of the teams that I picked to win it all this year. They're so talented. They're experienced. And now with the addition of Craig Kimbrell in the back end of that bullpen, we all said there was no excuses going forward. And I was happy to see what Joe Maddon did yesterday. He finally exploded. He needs to do this. By now, I would probably turn over three or four spreads, because you got to keep the attention of a very talented ball club, because there is a tendency to coast when you think you're better than everyone else. You can just go out there and lay your hats out there and you win ball games. It's just not that easy. Okay. They are definitely the hunted. Everybody know how good they are. They're going to have to show that fight if they're going to win another championship.
All right, so I have to ask you, because a couple weeks ago, Chris Bryant, frustrated, slams his bat, pops one in a short left, and, you know, just starts jogging toward first. And heaven forbid, his worst nightmare, the ball falls. The shortstop loses it, ball drops. He only ends up on first. Rizzo hits a hard ball into the shift, double play, and it ends up they get out of the inning, and the Cubs don't get the run they need to tie the game, and they lose. And he says after the game, that's on me. That will never, ever happen again. Oh, until I think Riz made a base-running decision. It was a bad one. And then Javi didn't break right on a squeeze. And then Contreras didn't get to third. And then Javi stands at home plate the other night. And my point to David DeJesus on the postgame was, if you're the manager, at some point, there has to be a level of accountability. And if Frank Thomas is my best player and he doesn't hustle, I'm going to make an example of my best guy and go, guess what, media? Frank's not in the lineup tonight. You know why? Because he didn't run a ball out, and I'm tired of watching it. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, it happens, especially when you're the best player on the team. You have to go out day in and day out and hustle, because people are watching you, guys feed off you. But we've all been guilty of the ball popped up, and we thought it was going to be an easy out, and it drops, and you definitely feel bad about it. But you better not let it happen again. You're right about that. So the Cubs are in a situation right now. They're too talented. They better come together, because Theo Epstein has some strong words yesterday too. And I don't blame him, because he's done everything possible to give his team a chance to win another championship. And when you get guys get in there a little complacent, start digging yourself and feeling yourself, and you're not playing well, I mean, the spotlight's on you. No one is going to sit there and feel sorry for these guys, because they are so talented.
Okay, let me switch from the Cubs to the White Sox, because they remind me a lot of the 2014 into 15 Cubs. Better players, people are excited, the minor league system looks like it's flush with talent. So, well, how do they take the next step with this thing? Because I don't think they're a playoff team this year. I don't think they have enough pitching, but right, they're certainly a lot of fun to watch.
They're a lot of fun to watch, and who knows, at the break, that there could be one trade to bring in another starting pitcher. And that's all they need right now, because I think Dylan Cease is going to work out fine. He was a little nervous the other day, but his stuff is electric. Dylan Covey's pitching well. I mean, the Sox has a very, very bright future. And my goal for them was to be 500 all-star break, and it seems like they're very close to that. And if they do that and come out and have a heck of a second half, you never know what might happen, but it also gives momentum going into the 2020 season when they said they were looking to win.
So would you be willing, if there was a player out there, Madison Bumgarner or Zach Greinke, some will be rentals, some wouldn't, and they said, okay, we can get one of those guys, but we got to give up our, you know, really some really good prospects. Would you do it?
I mean, there could be some prospects that could be had right now. I think what the Sox are going to deal with is everybody's going to try to come out to Colum A and Herrera. Mm-hmm. I think those two guys, experienced closers, that can help a team down the stretch. That's what I got my eyes on right now, because one of those guys could be expendable if they can bring back a solid starter. So, you know, they got this other kid that just came up throwing 100 miles an hour. So, I mean, there's possibilities there that something like that could happen. But this team has a bright, bright future, and I'm telling you, it's a matter of time before they win big.
So you would not give up a top prospect, though, to go get a starting pitcher to try and see if you could get to a wild card this year, would you?
It depends who that pitcher is. If there's a superstar pitcher out there that could be had, a number two, or maybe even a number one, of course I would. Because this offense is so solid going forward, I mean, they're going to be very, very good. If they can make some noise in the second half and sneak into a wild card, I would do it.
Really?
See, yes, I would.
Yeah, see, I don't think this is a good enough team, especially with Timmy Anderson down for 4-6. I just look at this team and go, you know what? Let's have a really solid year. Let's build off of this. And in the offseason, I'll see what deals present myself.
You can never think like that as a player. You can never think like that. You can't take baseball for granted. You know, you got a situation and you're 500 at the break and no one saw you coming and your offense is getting better and better. And you watch Eloy, he's got 15 home runs already. He basically played a month and a half in the first half. I mean, that's the type of explosive team they have coming up. If you got pitching that can hold you in ball games, this team is going to explode the second half. I'm telling you, the wild card is wide open still.
You have been singing this tune since April. You said to me, "Hey,
yes.
That team is better than you realize."
Yes, they are. And like you just said, Tim Anderson's been down. Wait till he comes back ready to play again. I mean, this team, I'm telling you, they can make a run. Who knows? They went 21 out of 30. They're right back in this wild card thing, because Boston has been up and down all year, and everybody expecting Boston to grab this wild card. But watching that team, for me, just seems like I don't know if they're going to get it together in time, but they might. But that's the only team they got to worry about is Boston. And they play well against all those teams. Boston, the Yankees, I mean, they play well against the top teams in baseball.
What is your take on Moncada? Because the season last year ends with him at 217 strikeouts. This year, he's on pace. Still a high number, 170 or so, but that's dramatically reduced. He looks much more comfortable at third, and offensively he looks like a different player. Where are you on Yoan Moncada?
I love him. He's as advertised right now. For me, he's just as talented as Javi Baez, but he's just got a, you know, he's got a focus issue for me right now. Some days he'll have a, you know, big two home run game and doesn't show up the next day. He's got to get past that and realize when you have a two home run game, you got to build on that for the next week, because you know, this guy's a young superstar. He's got all the tools, and I love watching him play. He's going to have a bright, bright future, and I think he's going to be a staple in his White Sox team for a very long time to come.
I'm looking forward. I'm going to tomorrow's game at Guaranteed Rate as a fan with my wife. Got two really good seats. I'm going to tailgate. I'm going to have fun. Then Sunday, it's you, me, Ozzie, and DeJesus doing the pre and post. That's going to be
that's
awesome.
That's exciting. I can't wait, Cap. We're going to have some fun, buddy.
Oh, I cannot wait to do it. All right, I got to ask you about, you're a huge basketball guy. If you're Kawhi Leonard, you just won the NBA title in Toronto. You are, other than Drake, the biggest name in that city and maybe all of Canada. Would you sign back there and take the 5 years, 180? Would you take a one-year deal with a one-year at your option? Would you go to the Lakers where you're going to be with LeBron and AD? Would you go to the Clippers where you had always kind of indicated you might go?
It's a no-brainer for me. I would go to the Lakers with LeBron and AD because they got a chance to have been what the Warriors have been the last 5 years. Right at the end of the tail end of LeBron's career, I can see them winning the next three out of four if he goes to the Lakers. And he can make up the money there in L.A.
So what if he said to you, Frank, I don't want to be the third guy and go ring chasing?
He's not going to be the third guy. You know, LeBron's at that point that he's a facilitator, he's a scorer. But when you got a guy like Kawhi, the seasons are so long, all three of those guys will have a chance to be the number one guy some part during the season. And when they come to the playoffs, you wouldn't stop a threesome like that.
Okay, so what was it like? You played for the Blue Jays. What is it like playing up there? Because if I was a guy who I was going to get signed and I had my pick, like Canada would never be on my list, but people tell me it's great.
The fans are great. Toronto fans are awesome, but it's still a hockey town. I don't care how great you are in baseball and basketball, it's still a hockey town. So for Kawhi, he went up there and handled his business, won a championship for those guys. They'll love him forever. But if he left, I don't think you're going to see harsh burning of jerseys or anything like that, because they've always wanted a championship, and he delivered in 1 year.
Right. If he ends up signing in Toronto, would you be stunned or not surprised?
I wouldn't be surprised because of the fanfare there. They're going to treat him like a god up there. They love their ball players up there. But just remember, it's still a hockey town. I don't care how great you are in those other sports, they love their hockey first.
Did you go to the Maple Leafs games at all? I've never been to a game in Toronto. I'd love to go.
I went to one. They weren't as good when I was there, but it was still an exciting atmosphere. But, you know, I remember we went like 11 out of 12 games win, and they still led with hockey every night. So it's one of those things that I don't care how good you're doing or whatever sport, it's still a hockey town.
You went 11 out of 12, and the lead story was the Maple Leafs, who sucked.
Yes. It was offseason.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
Hey, it is insane, but it's the hockey capital of the world in Canada. It's all about hockey up there.
What is your thoughts on the rest of NBA free agency? Because it's interesting to see how much money some of these guys get. The Bulls have quietly at least become decent. I think they've got a long way to go to get to where they want to be, but I think they're getting better. Do you pay attention to all of that?
Yes, I'm paying attention. I think they got some great young talented players, and they're being patient. Who knows? Next year they might get that one guy. Who says if Kawhi came to the Bulls, how good they would be? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's one of those things that he needs to think out of the box a little bit, because if he came to the Bulls, he could probably have a winner here the next year or two also.
Can you imagine if Kawhi Leonard got up today and said, you know what, I'm going to the Bulls?
That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be insane. But why,
he would make him a contender overnight.
But why do you think there's this image that guys don't want to play in Chicago? Because the Cubs don't have any problem with free agents. The Blackhawks don't have any. The Bears don't have any. The Sox haven't really tried to sign any lately, and they will. Why do you think there's this perception that Bulls can't get free agents?
I don't think it's a perception at all, because I think all players wouldn't mind playing in Chicago. It's a major town. It's just one of those things right now that you look at the landscape in the NBA. If you're not on a big three, you don't have a chance to win a championship, and guys want to win. So that's what you're saying right now. Guys want to be on those super teams that got a chance to win a championship.
Frank Thomas, sponsored by LKQ Pick Your Part, Nugenix, and Illinois Department of Transportation, Life or Death, Illinois. Big Frank, back to baseball. If you were going to go as a fan, I said to you, Frank, let's go to a game. We could pick any team you want to see. Who would you want to go just sit, have a beer, and watch as a fan?
But this year?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I would go back-to-back games with the Cubs and White Sox all day long. I mean, both of these teams are worth watching now. I get joy watching both of these teams play baseball because I have to now on the national level. But watching these two teams, they mirror each other a little bit. The Cubs just have more experience starting pitching, and that's why they're where they're at. But if White Sox get the starting pitching together, they're going to take off, and we're going to have two great teams in the city. I'd love to see a World Series between these two teams.
Oh, my God, it would be insane. Insane.
It would be insane. I would love it. And we would do the pre- and post-game show. That would be special.
Oh, it would be incredible.
We would have a lot of fun, Cap.
We would. Tom on Twitter said, Frank said a few weeks ago he would put Anderson at leadoff when he's healthy. Moncada, third. Abreu cleaning up. And when Madrigal and Luis Robert get to Chicago, would you bat one of those guys up near the top? How would you structure this thing if you were putting this lineup together?
I would keep it the way it is right now, but I would definitely slide Eloy down in the fourth or fifth hole. I got to get his bat in there, because I want him to bat four times a game or five times a game. So I would get him in the four hole. He's a threat.
No, this guy's got 14 home runs, I think, and he missed the
15.
First 15 home runs and missed the first 20-some games till they finally brought him up.
And he was out with a high ankle sprain.
Right.
For another 4 weeks.
Yeah, he had, I think he's missed a total of 24 games, something like that. I got to look and see.
Right.
But he's got to be on track still to come close to 30 home runs.
He will get it. I believe that. I mean, this guy's got light tower power. I love his personality. He's so fun. He's laid back. And he's going to cut down the strikeouts. Right now, you know, he wants to do too much. And when he just sits back and just lay back in there and do his thing, stay through the middle of the diamond, he's going to hit a tremendous amount of home runs.
Hey, we have Rizzo on every week. And I asked him the other day, hey, man, are you going to be in the home run derby? And he said, no. He said, I didn't get elected to the All-Star game. So that made the decision easy. If I had, it would have been a harder decision. But he doesn't want to mess up with his back. He said, I probably wouldn't do it. What does baseball need to do to get Mike Trout and some of these other guys who don't want to participate to be on this grand stage?
Well, I really believe it's a young man's derby. The first 4 or 5 years, that's when you want to be in a home run derby. When you get some time under your belt, you realize what's more important going into the second half when you're dependent on to be the guy. But these young kids that come in, they don't worry about their swings. They don't worry about overswinging. I mean, you're just a kid having fun. So, you know, I won it early in my career, and I was happy to win it. But after that point, I was like, forget this, you know, because I knew the next 2 weeks I was swinging for the fence every pitch, and that's just not going to cut it. So I understand the pros and cons. Baseball needs the top hitters in it, but there's so many young, talented superstars with a lot of power. I would keep them in the home run derby right now.
Did you enjoy doing it?
Oh, I loved it. But I would do it in practice every day. You know, but I had Walt Riddick who kept me level-headed and just say, hey, this is 3-1 count, this is a 2-0 count, we're going to work on hitting the long ball. And that was my mentality. I wasn't sitting there trying to take every pitch out of the ballpark. You know what I'm saying? I got the hitter's counts. I would try to drive the ball out of the ballpark. And that's the way I handled the home run derby.
Who pitched to you?
I didn't have a special pitcher. I mean, whoever was there at the game.
Wow, so you didn't like say, hey, I'm bringing my college coach? None of that?
No, we didn't have that choice. We used whoever coaches were there for the All-Star teams. We used those guys on the mound.
All right. Well, bring your best suit on Sunday because I'm going to bring something new that I only have worn once. I'm going to be ready to roll, man.
Well, I hope it's a little cooler right now because it is a little steamy out there right now.
Yeah, I like
it. Let's hope for 80-degree weather.
I like it. Like my sweet spot. Like if you could pick the temperature, what would you pick?
Oh, 78 and sunny.
Yeah, see, if I could pick the temperature, I'd pick 88 and sunny.
A little toasty.
I like it toasty. A little.
Well, the ball flies a lot better at 88. You know that.
No question about it. All right, I'll see you Sunday at work.
Thanks for having me, Cap. You guys have a great day.
You too. You're the man. See ya.
Take care, guy.
There he is. That's our guy, Frank Thomas, and he is a regular here on this show and Carmen Yerk on ESPN 1000. Sponsored by LKQ Pick Your Part, Nugenics. In Illinois, Department of Transportation, Life or Death, Illinois. What's the latest goings on with Kawhi Leonard and KD going to the Nets? That's next on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
All right, welcome back. 10:24 in the great city of Chicago. Hope you had a great, happy, healthy, fun 4th of July. I know I did. Got to sleep late, go to bed early, and in between hang out with my wife and the dogs and drink wine and eat some good food. And it was just a great one day, like, respite. It was awesome. Anyway, back to the phones. Bill in Homewood. Hey, Bill, what's going on, Sparky?
Hey, Cap. I heard your interview with Frank there, and yeah, I'm a big Sox fan. The future is very bright, obviously, but I do not believe that Tim Anderson is the shortstop of the future. I'm interested in your take. I mean, coming into this season, there were a lot of questions about Anderson. I mean, if we had gotten Machado, I think Anderson would have been a center fielder. And then Anderson had the huge April, and everyone kind of forgot about his struggles the last 4 years. And, you know, what's he really done since April? Yes, he's a little better defensively, but yeah, he's still one of the dumbest players in baseball. Base running wise, you know, some of the mistakes he makes, just inexcusable. He strikes out way too much. And we already got two guys in Moncada and Jimenez who are always going to strike out a lot. So another guy like Anderson who strikes out, you know, that much as well. I don't see him being the shortstop of the future. And I think everyone is kind of got him penciled in there based on the big April that he had, but I'm curious what you think on it.
Here's my take on it. If you really are realistic and you look at this White Sox team, Madrigal's going to be up here sooner rather than later. Robert's going to be up here sooner rather than later. Tim Anderson, prior to his hot start to this season, nobody looked at him as one of the top five shortstops in the American League. And if I go through the shortstops, he might not even been in the top seven or eight. Now, is he the guy that got off to this amazing start, or is he the guy that we kind of really didn't think was that good prior to the season? That's probably the best way to answer that question. If he comes back from this high ankle sprain and he continues to rake and he continues to look like a different player, well, then maybe he is your answer. But I'm not ready to go all in and say, hey, Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson's a lock. He's an all-star perennially. I'm not there. Moncada looks like, so far, he has been the guy they traded for. Last year, not so much. Let's see how he continues to develop. They've got a lot of questions that have to be answered, but they're certainly trending in the right direction.
Cap, if Manny Machado came to the South Side in the offseason, where would that have put Anderson and Moncada for the future?
Well, it depends. If they decided, because Manny kept saying he wanted to be a shortstop.
Okay, so that would have then put Anderson where?
Probably center field.
Okay, so to the caller's point, perhaps he isn't the long-term solution at shortstop. Maybe you could move him somewhere else.
Possibly. You know, Manny Machado was here, and they decided we're better off putting him at third base. Then Moncada would still be at second. You've got Madrigal coming. He's going to probably have that spot. At some point, Tim Anderson might have to move. But right now, with no Manny here, you don't have a shortstop. You go, I got to get that guy on the field. But Andrew Vaughn, they just moved him up to Kannapolis. He's going to be a beast of an offensive player. He was the number three overall pick in the June draft and quickly got signed and is already performing well in the lower levels of the minors. He's not far away. I mean, this isn't a guy that's going to be 3 years from now. He's here, if not next season, certainly the season after. So they've got pieces coming. They just got to get more pitching.
So really, you know, Anderson at shortstop this year doing a great job, but that's the one spot where you could really find someone who may be better and plug and play.
Correct.
Right? Like, that's the one spot. Because second base, center field, like, all these other spots are starting to be taken up by high-profile prospects.
Right. Jimenez is going to have one of your outfield spots. Luis Robert's going to have another one of your outfield spots. Should Tim Anderson be the center fielder if they ever went and got another shortstop? Right now, they don't have that shortstop coming because they envision Madrigal playing second base. What do you do with Jose Abreu when Andrew Vaughn comes up and he's going to be the guy over at first? Is Jimenez going to be good enough defensively, made a really nice play at the wall yesterday, or is he going to be long-term a DH? They've got a number of questions to ask themselves and to get answers on. Is James McCann the pedestrian guy they got for $2.5 million that left Detroit and everyone's like, hey, he's okay? Or the guy going to the All-Star game? I mean, Brian Lahaire went to the All-Star game too, and he's out of baseball. So which guy is this James McCann? Like, they got a lot of things. They need time to let these play out and see how they are. But if you're a White Sox fan, you should be jacked and excited because this thing's trending in the right direction. Steve in Rockford. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Cap. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
Happy 4th of July weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Hey, gotta want to talk a little Rick Renteria right now.
Bring it up.
I'm a Cub fan. You know, when he's with the Cubs, I was kind of And now I have a newfound respect for this guy. If he's with the Cubs, does he make this team better? And if he takes the White Sox to the playoffs, does he get a contract?
Well, he just signed an extension in the offseason. So he's got, I think, 4 years left now. I think they gave him a 3-year extension. Oh, so
I was unaware of that.
Yeah, Rick Renteria is going nowhere. And what was the other part about the Cubs?
If he's with the Cubs, does he have that team playing better than they are now?
No. Absolutely not. The guy that they have has averaged 97 wins for 4 seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Absolutely not. They look, they have a really good manager. I think he has to, at times, change and hold guys a little more accountable when things are going the wrong direction. And thanks for the call, Steve. But you can't argue with Joe Madden's record. You just can't.
The caller. Well, I just love that response to you, Cap. Well, meaning like, yeah, look at the results.
Yeah, I would not want Ricky Renteria managing the Cubs over Joe Madden. I mean, that's just a bad, bad take.
Welcome to the Crosstown Cup Tourney Edition, second edition here in the regular season. The weekend's here, Cap.
Yeah, my tickets just popped up on my phone. I'm ready to go for tomorrow. I'm excited. Excited. I'm going to tailgate at guaranteed rate. Yeah.
You are aware after this two-game set this weekend that the Cubs could pass the White Sox in the loss records, right?
Yeah, I got to look at those standings. Hold on a second. I think they would be tied in losses, right?
I'll play this music while you look it up.
MLB standings. The Chicago White Sox, I think, are two games under, if I remember correctly. Let me make sure I'm right. Yeah, Sox are 41 and 43.
Yep.
The Chicago Cubs...
I know what I said.
...are sitting at... Oh, you said the loss part of it.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Cubs are 46 and 42.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So you're telling me if the Sox take the two, the Cubs have 44 losses, Sox have 43.
Yes, sir.
Right, but the Cubs still would have one more win.
Yeah, yeah. They, in the win column, they are well ahead of the White Sox.
And they'd still be ahead of them in the standings.
It doesn't matter. In the loss column, though.
Yeah, that would suck for Cub fans.
Think that the clubhouse on the south side, that this is something they're aware of for this weekend?
On the south side or on the north side?
Yeah, this weekend. That the White Sox know, hey, guys, you know, we probably are not going to catch the Cubs this year in overall standings. But, you know, if we take these two games, we will put them with more losses than we have this season at the halfway point. Think about that. That's bad.
I wouldn't be happy if I'm the Cubs. I can tell you that. 312-332-3776. Again, we're going to give away two pair of tickets to the CONCACAF Gold Cup Final Sunday at Soldier Field. Going to be packed. USA-Mexico. Should be a lot of fun if you're a soccer fan. We'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets today. We have two of them to give away. All right, what's the latest goings on with Kawhi Leonard and the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Raptors? That your pick is the Clippers, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we've seen all along is that Kawhi Leonard wants the team that's leaking the least amount of information about this entire process. He's very private. He wants to handle how he's going to decide where he's going to play next season on his own terms. It seems like a lot has been made noise-wise from the Lakers. We saw the other day on the 3rd all of the commotion in Toronto based on video of his private jet flying in to the car on the highway to the hotel where the meetings take place. And I get it. They're excited. But clearly, Kawhi wants this to be kind of under his own process, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the Clippers still, just based on he wants to go to California... And they're the team that has been chasing him the longest. And I don't know if Kawhi really meshes with the Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Laker, and all the what goes into the hype around being with LeBron James. So here's Adrian Wojnarowski on SportsCenter yesterday talking about Kawhi Leonard and how he's being very thorough on his decision here.
He's being thoughtful about it. And, you know, you get one crack at this in your prime generally. As a free agent, and you know, he could be back at it in 4 years and still be near at the top of his game. But listen, he's earned the right to be in free agency, to decide where he wants to go. He was traded to Toronto last year. They've done a remarkable job of putting themselves in position to be able to get him. That's not where they were when they started. When he showed up the first day after the trade and had his physical and met with Masai Ujiri. And so he's got three very different kinds of organizations, situations, opportunities. And listen, anybody else who's ever had a difficult decision to make, in the end, there's probably no wrong answer for him. But like, the league is going to stop. It's going to wait for him. And he's, listen, he's got every right and probably responsibility to himself to take the time to figure it out.
Cap, where do you think Kawhi Leonard lands?
Boy, I kept thinking he's going to go to Toronto, sign a 1-1, the second year at his option, so that's an insurance policy.
Toronto would be the best option if he wants a win, right?
Or the Lakers.
Yeah, I understand top-loading your roster with generational talent, but they're going to have nothing else on that team.
Well, they have four really good players, though, in LeBron, AD, Kawhi,
and you guarantee Kuzma. Me, though, if you put that foursome together, is that absolutely the team that gets out of the Western Conference?
I can't guarantee that.
If Kawhi's with the Raptors, can you almost guarantee me that the Raptors are going to be in a pretty good situation to get out of the East?
Probably right. Unless Thomas Satoransky becomes generational.
Please.
Kidding.
Satoransky.
Well, we'll see how this all shakes out.
So can the Clippers
We may know today.
Yeah, and can the Clippers recover? So here's Adrian Wojnarowski on the Woj podcast talking with Ramona Shelburne about how if the Clippers don't get Kawhi Leonard, remember, they set this all up. All offseason, everything was pointing to this team in this offseason, two max salary slots to go after free agents, maybe a Durant, maybe a Kyrie, maybe Jimmy Butler, maybe Kawhi. If they don't get Kawhi Leonard, what does that mean for the Clippers? Here's Adrian Wojnarowski.
To have somebody choose them over the Lakers, choose them over LeBron, choose them over LeBron and AD, that if that doesn't happen, it is hard for them. They have done everything right since they reshaped this front office. They've done they've made every right decision. They've done it. They're head-to-head with the Lakers in a way that I can't remember ever really with a big player in free agency, ever being head-to-head with them.
Yep.
And if they don't get him, it's going to be harder for them to make the case. It's a tough one for them, perception-wise, I think, to recover from. Like, they're never going to overtake the Lakers.
And they especially won't if they don't have Kawhi. And they don't land anyone this offseason outside of Pat Beverly, then the Clippers will never get that big star.
If they can't get something done with the ability they had this year and a player who's from Southern California and they can't get it done, they're never getting it done.
No, absolutely not. And then the other thing that I thought was interesting was Ramona and Adrian Wojnarowski talked about Kevin Durant and Draymond Green and all the behind-the-scenes stuff that took place this season, which basically led to Durant wanting to leave Golden State to head to Brooklyn. So here's Ramona Shelburne talking about how Kevin Durant and Draymond Green almost got to the point during the season where the Warriors needed to trade Draymond Green. Is that something you were aware of?
No.
Cap? Okay, so here's Ramona Shelburne.
I didn't understand the extent of it until I was around it and I saw it in person. And then, you know, it's just like a bomb went off in the locker room, right? I mean, it was just like everything that had been beneath the surface and people talking behind closed doors, like, just erupted, and all the feelings were laid bare. And there were people after that locker room incident that felt like Draymond Green was going to have to be traded. Like, they, yeah, you know, it was almost like they couldn't salvage the relationship with Kevin unless Draymond was gone. But somehow they salvaged it for this season. They all, I guess the word I would come up with is compartmentalized. It's like they just compartmentalized the issue with Kevin all year, but it really felt like that just brought out what had been brewing.
That's how bad it was?
That's
crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and then also,
Did you ever realize that?
No, I mean, I figured that I figured that Draymond Green was probably speaking the truth. Remember when that all went down and you could read Draymond's lips and what he said to Kevin? I believe that that's how he thought, and I would also put money on, there's probably other players within the locker room that thought the same thing. You know, the guys who've been there and won championships before Kevin Durant got there. So I didn't think it would get to that point, but Kevin Durant is a very, he's in his feels, Cap. He's very hyper aware of what people say about him and what the narrative is about him socially and just on TV, radio, all of it. And he cares about it. So the fact that that was out there and that rubbed him the wrong way, it doesn't surprise me. Ramona also had another thing to say about how Kevin Durant decided to go with the Nets because he could no longer connect with these guys on the Warriors And a lot of it had to do with age and where they are in their life
stages. Plus, he also did not like playing for Steve Kerr.
Yeah, here, take a listen to this.
I actually think this trip to Brooklyn, I think this decision to go play with his friends is going to sound a little bit reductionist, but it's kind of age appropriate, right? Right. Like the Warrior guys, they're all kind of older and they're in a different stage of life. Like, you know, Draymond has a kid now and he's engaged, and Steph's married, obviously, with three kids, and Clay is on Planet Clay, I guess is the right way to put that. But Andre's older, you know, his family, and it's just Kevin didn't really fit into that social group there, and I really do think that that's kind of part of it. He's just still kind of on his journey finding himself.
And is that more important than winning? Because Steph Curry's 31, Kevin Durant's 30. So when you say age, that's not really what we're talking about.
Draymond?
I can look it up. They're all around the same age.
Draymond's got to be somewhere like 30, 29. Because he was in the draft where the Bulls got Marcus Teague while
he's
Tibbs
29.
Was
he's 29. I mean, like, but it's life stages, right? Mm-hmm. These guys have kids. They're settled down. And Kevin Durant is still just wanting to kind of hang out with the boys. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm sure many people, when you're in your 20s, into your 30s, there are friends of yours who are still acting like they're single, like single you acted when you were in your early 20s.
Right.
But then when you get married or you settle down or you live with a girlfriend or you have a kid or you do this, that, and the other, and you progress mentally, you have others who want to keep hanging out with those in their early 20s.
Yeah,
meanwhile, you and I on the 4th of July are going to bed at 8:30 at night.
Yeah, and I was
after a wine breakfast.
Yeah, we were really comfortable with that.
Right.
Right.
But there are some that have FOMO and are like, nah, I've got to be out where the action is until 2 a.m.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Because they have FOMO.
Yeah.
I never have FOMO. Anyway, 312-332-3776. Let's grab a quick timeout. My question for everybody out there is this. The Bulls, look, they're not going to win the title. The Bulls are not that team. They didn't get Kawhi. They're not getting LeBron or AD. But they are going to be vastly improved. They've got a good draft pick or two. They signed some solid, unspectacular free agents. They're going to be healthy, hopefully. And so they should have a better team than they've had in a while. Are you at all excited, encouraged about where this team might be finally headed with this core? 312-332-3776. I'm sure our guy C-Red Fred's out there, but what do you think? 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
Phenomenal, yes. Ridiculous, yes. Insane, absolutely. You're listening to Cap and Company, weekdays from 9 to noon on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000 with Chris Black and Eric Ostrowski. I'm David Kaplan. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So where are you on the Chicago Bulls as they head into the 2019-2020 season? They're better. They're not great. They're better. Let me make that clear if Sylvie's listening out there. They're not great. They're better. They've made progress. They've made solid moves. They're better. They're not great. Mark Silverman, are you listening?
And Cap, remember, go back to Monday when I was with you here on Cap and Company. Like, I agree with you. They are better. But you also have to view it in the long-term context of this rebuild, right? The reason this is all taking place is because why? They told us 3 summers ago that they were going to rip it apart to build up a championship-level team because what was going on, the 41-41,
mm-hmm.
the getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs, having a star, Jimmy Butler, but not the star,
mm-hmm.
wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So they need better.
Mm-hmm.
Things look pretty good right now, but will it get past where it was a couple of years ago? And I think that's where fans can be happy with what has taken place in this offseason in the last couple of years of assembling these pieces. But you also have to remember that just being the eighth seed isn't going to be good enough.
Okay, let me just read.
Never having a star on this team isn't going to be good enough. You're going to have to acquire one somehow.
Okay, let me just read you this. This is their roster, the ages of their players.
Yeah.
Ryan Arcidiacono, 25.
Cool.
Antonio Blakeney, I mean, again, he's not, I'm just giving you everybody, 22. Wendell Carter, 20. Chris Dunn, 25. Cristiano Felicio, and he won't be here much longer, 26. Daniel Gafford, 20. Shaquille Harrison, 25. Chandler Hutchison, 23. Zach LaVine, 24. Walt Lemon Jr., 26. TLC, Timothy, I'm not even going to try pronouncing it, 24. Lauri Markkanen, 22. Otto Porter, 26. Thomas Satoransky, 27. Wayne Selden, 24. Valentine, 25. Kobe White, 19. And Thaddeus Young, their veteran, is 31. Okay, Your best players are LaVine, 24. Markkanen, 22. Wendell Carter, 20. Kobe White, 19. I mean, you have a chance here for these guys to develop. Now, can player development get them where they need to go? That is, for me, the single biggest thing they got to be better at is player development.
Yeah, a couple things off of listing off the ages, Cap, is young teams in the league, generally, they don't win.
Right.
So how long do you wait until you say that these guys can't win, right? Like, I get it. Development needs to take place. But young teams in the league, they do not win. Okay, so that's one. You can point to multiple examples throughout history. You've seen a team like the 76ers, an up-and-coming team with two young stars.
Mm-hmm.
But they have two young stars, and that's why they won so quickly. The Thunder with Durant, Westbrook, and Harden, they went to the finals. They won very quickly. But all three of those guys are stars. They had the guys, and then also Oklahoma City couldn't keep those guys together. So that's something else to remember. So, like, the development part is key, but also, like, how long do you wait? You know, like, they have assembled a lot of young pieces, but what are those pieces, and will they actually produce anything for you? That is a secondarily as important as the previous.
I don't
Collecting the pieces are important, but getting the development out of them in the production, that's important, too.
Yeah, and that's why I believe, and we have John Paxson on the show Monday at 10 a.m., and that is going to be, you know, one of my questions to him. Pax, you built a very nice team. You got lucky and got Derek, and it didn't work out because of injury and whatever other reasons. You tore it down, and now you've built a nice team again, and it's getting better. How do you take it from where it is to where it needs to go? Is that player development? Because I think your player development has been lousy to this point.
The Orlando Magic in the last 7 years, they have had tons of young, talented players on their roster that have turned into nothing. And so they're continually in the lottery, always drafting high in the draft, trying to find that next star. And they just have all these young players who don't actually put anything together and win. I know this year they made the playoffs for the first time in years, but like, that's the tough thing is, can you take these young pieces and acquire something? Is there a Bradley Beal sitting out there on the market and you say, you know what, LaVine, Wendell Carter, Hutchinson, these are nice pieces, but you know what, if I can land Bradley Beal, I'll flip what I have here to get a star. Is it collecting these pieces for when Giannis becomes a free agent or when he forces his way out of Milwaukee, which star players in the NBA want to do? We don't know if he will, but that's just the way the NBA works, is eventually the next star player is going to want to go somewhere else. A Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, even though he signed a new contract, that doesn't mean he'll be happy there forever. You know what I'm saying?
We'll see how this whole thing shakes out, because there will be the next great thing that goes, I want out. And
yeah,
the Bulls have to be in position to go get him.
Yeah.
We'll see. Corey's in Evergreen Park. Hey, Corey, what's going on, kid?
All right, cappuccino.
Bring it on.
I got you. Because we live in Chicago, born and raised in Chicago, does not mean that we have to look at all our sports teams with rose-colored glasses. Listen, the Bulls, John Paxson, he assembles teams that are just like him.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, they are safe. They are clean. They are average. And that's what we get. What we need to do is get rid of Pax.
Yes. I'm all in on getting rid of Gar. And Gar has been, look, the Bulls are never going to go out and confirm this, but I could tell you, Gar Forman is not the guy making decisions any longer. He's not. He's the GM in name only. They are a classy organization. They keep paying him his money. He is a glorified scout. That is all he is, and that's that. I like Pax. I like Pax more than a lot of people like Pax.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. I also came on the air a couple of months ago and said I would bring another voice into the organization to work with him. There was a guy in Boston that I love. There's a few guys out there. I think they need a fresh set of eyes or a fresh voice. But I will tell you, they have acquired, and I appreciate your call, Corey. You're a good man. Enjoy your weekend. They have acquired pieces. What they do with it going forward, that is on them. And they've got to be better at player development. They just do. We got to take a timeout. 312-332-3776. I'm telling you, this team's going to the playoffs, and I think they're on the right track. But can they take it to the next level? That remains to be seen. We'll take a fast timeout. We'll come right back to ESPN.